This, you know, for you, I think this is true about your life overall, but it's important to point out this is not something theoretical or intellectual. I mean, this plays itself out in a practical way for you. God's heart for Jewish people and for the nation of Israel, it plays out in a practical way in your ministry.
It does, and I can give you one point in time. I went to the Jerusalem conference one year, this big conference in the 80s, and there were all kinds of speakers. And Dr. Feinberg, my mentor, was one of the speakers, and I was there. And there was an amillennialist guy who got up. He was the president of Westminster Seminary. And he preached on Isaiah 9, the government should be upon his shoulders and all that. And his point was, is the government of your life on the shoulders of Christ? And I thought, what is he talking about? This isn't about somebody's personal life. This is about the rule of Christ. And then he went on to give the amillennial spin. And he was followed by Dr. Feinberg and got up and he said in his inimitable way, so you had to come all the way to Jerusalem to tell the Jews that they get all the curses literally, but the blessings are figurative and they're all passed to the church? He said that from the podium.
Wow.
So it was like the knife went in, and that was a very defining moment which set in my mind the untenable character of that view that says every promise of cursing in the Old Testament that came on Israel literally, but every promise of blessing has been somehow taken away from them as a people and handed to the church, just is not a fair treatment of Scripture.
Where does that come from in your view? I mean, how does theologians who describe themselves as teaching the Word of God, how do they get there?
You don't get there from interpreting the Bible, because it's not there. You get there historically. It's in your sort of theological DNA that gets passed down. I mean, you go back to 325. 325, the Council of Nicaea. What are they doing in the Council of Nicaea? They're trying to define the nature of Christ, and they're getting it right. But in the process, they make a declaration that the Jews are an odious people. Mm-hmm. And then you have Augustine come along, and Augustine is a flaming anti-Semitic guy. But he gets so much right about theology, and that gets passed on and passed on. And then you have the horrors of the anti-Semitism of the Middle Ages. You go to Wittenberg, and you look at your hero, Martin Luther, and then you look at his church where he preached, and there's a pig up there, embedded in the wall, carved into the wall that represents the Jewish people. And you realize that what started as a resentment against the Jews for killing Christ gained traction and expanded and exploded. And I actually believe that the contemporary notion of amillennialism is this length of generations from anti-Semitism, so they don't see it for what it is. But I think that's where it was basically birthed, and it's been driven through the years by that sort of taking your theology from the last generation and passing it on, because you can't find that in the Bible. It's just not there. The promises of God to Israel are explicit and literal, clear, unmistakable, and repeated again and again and again and again.
And not just in the Old Testament, but in the
New Testament. Yeah. I mean, I asked the question, was Jesus an amillennialist? Well, no, because they said to him in Acts chapter 1, the disciples said to him, will you at this time bring the kingdom to Israel? Well, that would have been his perfect amillennial moment. Well, where'd you get a crazy idea like that? I mean, we're going to found the church in the next chapter. So just cool your heels, and then everything's going to change. It's not for you to know the times and the seasons. He didn't obviate that. The kingdom will come to Israel. Later on...
Well, and if I can interject just for a moment, you pointed out that Luke is telling us right at the beginning of Acts that they've just gone through 40 days of teaching on the kingdom
On the
of
kingdom.
God. I mean, it's not like this was not a topic. This was a central topic.
No, and the
topic,
only question they had is when.
When, not
and
if.
And when is it now? And he said, well, that's not for you to know. And then he goes on in the indictment of them later in the book of Acts for killing the Prince of Life and all of this, Peter says, and then he says, and you are the people of the covenant. Mm-hmm. Not you were, mm-hmm. or not the covenant has been canceled. You are the people of the covenant. And of course, you know, you get to the watershed passage in Romans 11, and Paul says the setting aside of Israel is temporary, it's partial, and all Israel will be saved.